This is File 19, Cycle 4. Today's date is August 21st, 2019. I am interviewing Jason Wilson. He's going to talk about the Salisbury Sharon Transfer Station. He's also going to talk about his experiences with the Lakeville Hose Company and the fact that he is a trainee and teacher of firefighting procedure. But first, we'll start with, what is your name?
Jason Wilson.
And when did you join the Salisbury Sharon Transfer Station?
I became an employee of the transfer station in 1995.
And it was right after high school?
Pretty close to after high school. I'd worked for the town a couple years as the janitor right out of high school, and that's when I became
And how did you know that there was an opening?
I was approached by the first selectman. Who was Robert Smithwick,
mm-hmm.
and asked me if I was interested in moving up to the transfer station position.
And why did you want to move up to the transfer station?
Well, at the time, I was only working part-time for the town, mm-hmm. And it was a far better job, and
yep.
I didn't really have much knowledge of what my future was going to be, so I decided to take the job on.
Good for you.
Yeah, to see how it would work out, and here I am all these years later, still there.
Yes, but in a position of responsibility.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a career for you.
Correct, yeah. I'll be at the transfer station the rest of my life.
Good.
Absolutely.
It's nice to have a friendly face.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who was the manager at that time?
Mike Golden was the manager when I signed up.
And who is the manager now?
Brian Bartram.
Now, you have several different responsibilities. What is your major responsibility at the transfer station?
Responsibilities that I do for the town working at the transfer station is I operate as the town safety officer at the facility. I make sure that the facility is safe for the employees and the patrons that use it. I see to it that we're following the state and federal mandates when it comes to the way we operate and how we store chemicals and equipment and things of such nature.
And the state has a lot of regulations, doesn't it?
Absolutely. State and federal government have hundreds of regulations that we must comply with. Environmental laws, yet we don't contaminate the environment.
It's a big job.
It is.
And you also are in charge of equipment maintenance?
Equipment maintenance, that's one of my positions, is also to take care of the equipment maintenance, the machines that operate on the site, the compactors, basically anything mechanical. With the exception of the trucks
mm-hmm.
that actually haul the trash. We use outside agencies to take care of those.
Yes. Now, some of it goes to Torrington?
Yes. Basically, most of our material goes to Torrington, with the exception of our metal goes to Waterbury.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How many full-time employees do you have?
We have 4 full-time employees and 2 part-time employees.
Oh, 2 part-time.
Yeah, Matt and Thomas Sherwood.
Matt
Murtaug and Thomas Sherwood are part-time employees.
What does Tom do?
Tom is our Sunday attendant.
Ah.
He takes care of the Sunday shift.
Okay. And Brian's the manager.
Yeah.
You're safety officer and equipment maintenance. And Gary Dunce and George Silvernail do what?
Are the drivers for the facility. They are the transportation managers, basically, for the material that we haul from the transfer station to its designated area, whether it's Torrington, Waterbury, or...
How many trucks do you have?
2.
We have the 2 trucks.
2 roll-off trucks, yeah.
Okay.
And basically, those 2 guys run 1 to 2 loads a day, every day, 5 days a week.
That's a long haul.
Yeah, it is.
It's a long haul.
Absolutely, yeah.
We have a new transfer station in process.
Correct.
What is it going to look like generally? How is it going to be different from the one we have now?
Well, it's not going to be much different than what we have now. It's going to be larger.
Mm-hmm.
1975, the transfer station was built to a certain amount of population.
Right.
As time's gone on, we've outgrown that population with more people that live in the 2 towns. So our footprint in the new facility is a lot larger. There'll be more parking, better access. There won't be so much congestion. So when
Good.
We have days that we fill up with lots of customers or patrons,
mm-hmm.
using the facility, there'll be more than enough room for people to get in and get out and get rid of their trash and dispose of their
items. You are going to have a hazmat building this time?
Correct, yeah. We have a special building that's away from the main building and the main operation. So if any type of accident occurs, whether it be a chemical spill or a fire, we can cordon that off and it can, per se, burn to the ground and not affect the day-to-day operation. And it won't cause any problems. You know, right now we're storing a lot of this equipment in our main building. Mm-hmm. God forbid if we had a fire...
Yeah.
The transfer station would close for a good 3 to 4 days, maybe a week.
Oh, yeah, because it's all contained.
Right, until we can rectify how we're going to redo things if something was to happen in this hazardous material building.
What kind of hazardous material do you accept?
We take paint, mm-hmm. and we take waste oil, car batteries, and mercury-filled fluorescent light bulbs.
Oh, yeah.
But some of the biggest things that I shouldn't say we accept, but we have to deal with, is items that slip through the system. People don't know what to do with an item, so they stick it behind a building or they hide it somewhere,
uh-huh.
and we're stuck with certain acids and acetones and chemicals and things, so we have to properly dispose of those items, you know, through a hazardous
sure.
waste day, so we need to store them somewhere until that day comes. It only comes twice a year,
mm-hmm.
so we need a little spot to store these items.
And what about the swap shop? Are you going to keep that?
Swap shop is going to remain at the new facility. It's twice the size of the current swap shop now that we're using.
Yeah,
we need it. It's a very popular thing. People like to use it, like to put items in there
mm-hmm.
for reuse to the next person.
Mm-hmm. It's a type of recycling.
Correct. It is a type of recycling. And it probably saves the town quite a few thousands of dollars a year. Both towns, I should say,
mm-hmm.
Now that Sharon is our equal partner. So, I mean, it's definitely cost-saving to the town. It stretches that item out over a longer period of time.
I've brought things in that somebody says, oh, I want that, and it's gone right out the door again.
Correct.
Which is super.
Absolutely.
Which is super.
Yeah, and it's like anything else at the current site that we've outgrown.
Yeah.
It's space. It's just too small.
It's obvious.
Yeah.
When do you think the new transfer station will open?
The projection is the spring of 2020, is our projection.
And you said something about an educational period.
Yeah. Once the facility is completed and the signage is up, myself and some of the other staff members would love to see an educational period where the facility would be open to the public and they could wander around at their own leisure and see where they're going to be dumping their items and how they're going to be parking their cars and things like that long before we ever bring any equipment or any containers to the facility.
So, I would think that would make it easier if you know what you're doing have to do it.
Absolutely correct. If they already know what they're doing before they get there, mm-hmm. you know, it'll make the transition a lot smoother when we do open. Yeah.
As I go by, I see the various pieces of equipment.
Yeah. Today the awnings are up.
Oh, good.
Over the framework for the awnings are up over the containers.
Good.
So there's a lot of change. Every week there's significant change.
Good, good.
To the exterior, to the grounds, you know.
Well, I hope it goes smoothly from here on.
Well, so far it's been going ahead of smoothly. It's probably a little ahead of schedule.
Oh, good.
Well, they've had no rain delays, like no weather delays. They haven't had any material problems where there was material delay or anything like that. So the company they hired, Burlington Construction,
is very
good.
Yeah,
it's always been a great company for the town of Salisbury.
Anything else you'd like to add about the transfer station that I've missed?
I think that might be about it, I think.
Okay.
Can't think of anything else.
All right, the Lakeville Hose Company. And when did you join the hose company?
I joined the Lakeville Hose Company when I was 18 years old. I was in 1990. This is my 29th year.
Were you in a junior firefighting
program?
No,
there wasn't any junior program at the time. I joined when I was of legal age to be accepted by the membership.
And so, how do you become a firefighter? Do you have to apply?
You have to apply. There's an application method, and you have to have a physical. And you're reviewed by the membership for 30 days, and they decide whether you'll be a good fit for the host company. And
Do you have to have a sponsor?
No, you don't need a sponsor or anything like that. Basically, just a willing body, I guess, you know.
Oh, and a keen mind.
And a keen mind, that's
yes,
right.
Yes, you have to have the keen mind.
So, yeah. So I've been there for 29 years. And
thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you.
It's one of those things that you don't realize how much you need until you're in a crisis situation.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And it is, we are so fortunate that we have volunteer.
Correct. Still.
Fire.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah, it's something that's not going to last very long, I'm unfortunate to say, I think.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, it's just, it's extremely difficult to continue to be a volunteer.
Well, with the training and the expense of it.
Correct.
It's
and your time serving during training, during calls.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if you're a person in town that has two or three jobs and a family and mm-hmm. it doesn't leave much time left to...
No, and the amount of training that you have to have, I think it's, what, 240 hours for...
203 hours for the Firefighter 1 class, yeah.
And that's on your own time.
That's, yeah, pretty much on your own time.
And
yeah.
It's your own gas.
Yeah.
And somehow you have to come up with all those hours, and yeah. I'm sure there's homework.
It costs, and yeah, there's homework, yeah, I mean, so... Probably by the time you're said and done with your homework, it is 240 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple little, there's some smaller classes that go along with it, such as some hazmat and things like that. And then there's an expense to the town and to the hose company.
Now, they pay for some of this training.
They pay for all of it.
Oh, they pay for all of it.
Yeah. Basically, that pretty much comes out of our budgetary system, you know, that we receive from the town. And we have a section, a line item for our training. And to train one firefighter in the Firefighter 1 class is $1,200 for that one person to go through this course for the 203 hours.
But the town gets it back in the services that you provide.
Correct.
I mean, it's...
As long as the person remains a firefighter. Sometimes that doesn't always happen.
True.
We'll put somebody through a class... And they'll get through it whether they pass it or not.
Mm-hmm.
We've had people leave and say, this isn't for me. You know, and they gave it a shot and it just wasn't their lifestyle.
So, no, there's a certain talent for things like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I admire the people that are willing to do it. Mm-hmm. Not something I would do. Any more than I would not be an EMT.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
and I know that.
Yeah, that's another field that...
Oh, the training.
Training, yeah.
And it's constant.
Yeah, I mean, constant. Never stops.
It never stops, and it gets with more regulations.
We have to constantly refresh every year.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Now, with... you said something last time about white hats and black hats.
Yeah, well, basically, when you join the fire service and you become a certified firefighter... you're designated with a black helmet, and that's to show that you are a certified, you know, firefighter that's trained. And white helmets designate officers of our department, so they're the command structure of the fire service.
And obviously, you're a white hat.
I am a white hat. I'm currently serving as the assistant fire chief. I'm also the past fire chief. I served as fire chief for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, I was a quartermaster when I first started in the hose company.
What's a quartermaster?
Equipment person who takes care of the issuing of uniforms and fire gear and such. Then I became a lieutenant. Mm-hmm. And I've held that position for over 10 years. And then I applied for... position as a captain, the same thing. I was a little over 10 years serving as the captain, and then I was elected to fire chief.
Are elected positions?
Elected position by the membership, correct.
How many in the membership?
Right now we're running 46 members.
Average age, 50?
Yeah, I'd say that's average age, absolutely. Yeah, they're not getting any younger.
No.
That's for sure. And it's difficult for...
It's difficult to recruit.
To recruit and find an individual with a lifestyle who can serve as a volunteer and be productive.
Jerry Pollack was a firefighter.
He certainly was.
And sometimes I would hope that the fire bell would ring in the middle of his sermon.
Sure.
But it didn't happen.
Yeah. He was also our chaplain.
Yeah. David Sillery was chaplain.
Yeah, Dave Sillery served as chaplain for a while. Dick Tabor.
And Dick Tabor, I've done all three.
Yeah, Father Joe Carnath,
Oh, he was fun. He was fun. Who's your fire chief now?
Fire chief now is Bob Smith, Jr.
Okay. And what have I not asked you about the Lakeville Hose Company that I should?
Oh, let's see.
Equipment? Uniforms?
Well, we just recently, I shouldn't say recently, we're going on our 9th year. We moved into the new station at number 4 Brook Street. Mm-hmm. We're serving the community with 11 pieces of fire apparatus. We have a 46-member roster. Mm-hmm. So we're starting, a new millennium here and trying to recruit new members always.
You've got women.
So, yeah, we have some women.
You have 7 women.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, we do have 7 women. That roster has slowly increased over the years. Yeah.
I would think, now you did say a physical. Is there a requirement for how much you can lift?
We don't really have anything like that.
Okay.
Basically, we have a description of the job and...
And if the woman can do it, she can do it.
Absolutely.
Ladders, hoses, that sort of thing.
Correct.
And right now there is a junior firefighting program for, what's the age for them?
The age for those girls, 15 to 17.
Okay.
And the same for boys.
Yeah,
there is a special female firefighters, junior corps training.
Is that what Kirsten went on?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. She did that down in Rocky Hill. But also the Connecticut Fire Academy offers a week-long class for a junior cadet program, which takes boys and girls, and that's a really great thing that the state's done for quite some time.
Now, if we finished with the hose company, we're going to go on to you have become a fire instructor.
I have. I was recently hired in December of 2018.
Why did you want to become an instructor?
Well, I'm getting older, And
you're looking to the future.
Yeah, and I'm looking to the future. I've got 29 years of knowledge so far of being a student of the service. So basically, I feel I've got something to say and something I can pass on to other firefighters throughout the county and the state. So I decided to look into becoming a fire instructor and took a class, and I passed it.
Of course, and
obtained a certification to teach.
And so, you have to be state certified, right?
State certified, correct. And then a job came up for the Litchfield County Regional Fire School, and I applied.
And they hired
me.
That's a new building, isn't it?
The fire school basically has been in Litchfield County since 1956, and they were located in the Burrville section of Torrington on Burr Pond Road.
Okay.
And it started, with some little buildings that they used to start fires in. And when I joined the service, there was a training tower and a burn building and a fairly small building for a classroom. It had a couple of classrooms and a restroom and an office and a little kitchenette. And over time, it got quite dilapidated, it got run down. And
what's a training tower?
A training tower. It's a 4-story tower. It's basically a section of staircases all the way to the top of this concrete building with some small rooms to train in.
Okay.
And it was used for doing ladder work and rappelling. And some of them crazy men used to jump off it into one of them big nets back in the day. Yeah. So thank God they banned that. that wouldn't have been my...
That wouldn't be your thing.
Yeah.
No.
The officers of the fire school and the Litchfield County Chiefs program association, I should say, have been fighting for quite a few years, close to 10 years, to get our fire school rebuilt to a suitable training facility for modern-day firefighters, and it was awarded to us. They spent close to $14 million.
Was it a state grant?
It was a state. It's a state facility, correct, yeah. That was done. And we now have a beautiful facility. So with a massive classroom, say, building and a fire station attached. You know, elevators, classrooms, kitchens, locker rooms.
Everything you really
everything
need.
Everything we really need.
State-of-the-art.
Exactly, state-of-the-art facility.
Wonderful. Yeah. Now, what do you actually teach?
The classes I teach are firefighting classes, you know, and rescue classes. Right now, I'm a probationary instructor. I'll be evaluated in a few months to get my final approval, whether I'll stay on the staff or not. But I'm looking very hopeful that I've done all right.
I'm sure you have. I'm sure you have.
You know, so as a new instructor, you got to fight pretty hard to get some positions and, you know, to get some time to show what you can do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I've gotten quite a few dates where I was able to go up there and do some work.
And, good. How do you run your course? Do you run it like a regular teacher? Or?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. There's a lesson plan, you know.
I know about those.
Yeah, absolutely. Basically, the plans, if you were doing a Firefighter 1 class, you know, it's a state program, and you do a lecture, you can conduct a lecture, and then you would go off onto some hands-on training for each subject.
Mm-hmm.
So the instructor looks at his lesson plan for the day and sees what he has to teach the students on that particular topic.
Okay.
There is roughly 60 topics, I think, in the Firefighter 1 curriculum.
Wow.
So, yeah, and you pick one that you like or that you're fluent in, and you go from there. So,
okay.
And there's some instructors that are best at hazmat, and some mm-hmm. that are best at fire behavior.
What do you feel is your strongest
point? My strongest point is the SCBA.
All right, what's that?
Work when it has to do with a confined breathing apparatus. We have to wear those tanks on our back, you know, when we're going into an atmosphere, mm-hmm. Smoke, mm-hmm. In hazardous atmospheres. So basically, I do the firefighting side of things, the rescue side of things.
The actual
yeah
work.
The actual yeah the, I guess you could say the actual work yeah,
yeah.
Those are my specialties, you know, firefighting, fire suppression, you know, SCBA, water rescue.
Okay. All right. When you use the initials, I have to ask what they mean.
Yeah, yeah.
Because someone reading this or listening to it
correct
won't know.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm being really picky.
Absolutely.
Sorry.
Yeah. So basically, when we hold a class, that's a hands-on program. When we're using our burn building, mm-hmm. we light a fire inside these concrete burn buildings. And they fill it full of smoke, and that's how we simulate the building is on fire, and there's actual fire you can extinguish. So fire crews are dragging hose lines into this building and extinguishing the fires that are
now,
inside.
Now, there are different kinds of fires. There's a wood fire, and there's chemical fires,
correct.
And there's oil fires, so they have to be fought differently with different materials?
They do. Most of the training that we do, we only use wood. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a certain criteria that we have to follow by the National Fire Protection Agency. We can't use any chemicals or any fuels or anything like that, so we have to keep it very clean. We're very environmental conscious.
Oh yeah.
When we're doing that. But there are training courses and classes that you can go to certain areas
for that.
And you can use all that chemical type material in order, such as foam and dry chem, and they have a method of cleaning it up. And
now, you're taking a course presently, aren't you?
I'm currently in the Fire Instructor 2 class that's being provided by the state.
And
it's more of a supervisory position training seminar that they are going to train me to supervise other instructors and build lesson plans. And
oh, you'll have fun with that.
More of the desk job, paperwork side of the industry.
But that's important, too.
It is.
It's
I mean, there's a need for it.
Yeah.
As a
former teacher, yes.
Yeah. I mean, we have to dot our I's and cross our T's when it comes to our training.
And because your training is so important, you have to make sure that all of the topics are covered sufficiently
Correct.
That people can handle in a crisis situation.
And we have to do it safely.
Yes.
We cannot have anybody hurt or, God forbid, killed on the training ground.
Mm-mm.
So it has to be very thorough.
Yeah.
Everything has to be documented.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. Do you get paid as an instructor?
I do, yeah.
And do you get paid by the state or the city? Or?
Yeah, actually, right now, yeah. The paychecks actually come from the state.
Good. So. They should.
Yeah.
They should.
Yeah.
Because of all of the rules and regulations, and your instructor should come from the state. What else would you like to tell me about being a fire instructor?
Well, I thought it would be a little easier than what I'm experiencing, you know, to discover how in-depth it was something I didn't know about a fire instructor, say, years ago.
Sure.
But finding, you know, finally getting hired and finding out the behind the scenes, as we talked about earlier, in a different area of the fire service, has definitely taught me a lot about
it. It gives you a broader background.
Yeah, to what they do.
Yeah.
And the respect level changed.
Yes.
You know, on what you think of a fire instructor now versus then.
Mm-hmm.
You thought it was just a guy that would come into the room with a clipboard and open up a lesson plan and just read from these pages. And it really isn't that.
No,
at
it
all.
Isn't.
Yeah.
You do research for the fire service in relation
for the host
burials.
Company. Yes, correct. I act as the unofficial historian of
Tell
the
me
Lakeville
about
Host
that.
Company. Basically, 15 years ago or so, I started a plan to start marking the graves of past members.
Of the Lakeville Host Company.
Of Lakeville Host Company members, correct. I saw that other towns did it. I thought it was a wonderful gesture to family members to have some acknowledgement that their loved one was a member of the local fire department. So I started doing that, purchasing markers.
And what do the markers look like?
They look like a fire helmet, and they say Lakeville Hose Company.
Yeah, okay, I've seen them.
Yeah.
I've seen them.
And they have a red flag on the top, a firefighting flag.
Yeah.
And we go around, or myself and Bullet Sherwood used to do mainly all of them.
Will Tom take over that?
I'm not quite sure yet who I'm going to have as my assistant. I really haven't given it any thought.
Well, you need somebody.
But come winter, yeah. I need to pick somebody because that's when you do your ordering.
Yeah.
And because the flags are replaced every spring. We do them every May.
I know.
Before Memorial Day. So, yeah, I will find an assistant. So Bill or Tom probably will come and do some of those with me.
Probably to keep up the tradition because of their dad.
Correct, yep. Correct. And it's just a nice gesture to do for people to see, you know. I just thought it was kind of...
It's a wonderful thing to do.
Yeah.
To give them respect
after
they've died for the service they provided
to the
community.
It seemed to be a little insensitive, you know, so I thought it would be a nice gesture to their families.
And this was something you did on your own.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
I
think that's
I asked
wonderful.
The host company for some money so we could cover these costs.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to purchase a dozen markers a year. And then I whip open the books and start looking for names of members who have passed.
Do you do only the cemeteries that are in town, or
no? No, I do anywhere there's a member that we know of. So far, the only out of town cemetery I do is the burial ground in Sheffield.
Yeah,
because Fred Bartholomew and his son, Curtis, are buried there, and they were members of the host company. Fred was the town's first fire marshal, and he also was the host company's first fire chief.
What's the difference between a fire marshal and a fire chief?
A fire chief commands the fire department.
Mm-hmm.
The fire marshal is a fire investigator that enforces codes and laws and investigates fires.
Who is currently the fire marshal in town?
Chip Carlton. He took over store for Mike Fitting.
Yeah, because Mike moved.
Mike retired, yeah.
All right. Is there anything else that you'd like to tell me about the research that you're doing?
That it's extremely difficult to read the handwriting of some of these men back in the day.
Yeah.
Their handwriting was quite unique.
Yeah.
Especially when you start getting into the fountain pen.
Yes.
And even in the 60s, I believe some of the men still use fountain pen. Mm-hmm. Because you can just tell on the paper there's sure. blotches, and you can see where they dabbed it with a bladder, and in different members, different years.
Sure.
Sometimes it wouldn't be the same guy as the secretary writing down the notes from the meetings and things like that. So
sure.
it's extremely difficult to try to make out some of those words. And I always said that I'm going to have them computer analyzed and have them printed out onto.
Oh, that would be a good idea.
Yeah.
Remember me if you do that.
Absolutely.
Where do you actually do your research? Do you have...
I do it right through the fire company, right? We have through our own records.
And you have your own records?
We have our own minutes of our meetings stored in a cabinet, yeah.
So you can do it in the firehouse, sort of?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, when it comes to them, because we always record the death of a member or something like that. So it's there. And sometimes you have to go to town hall.
Yeah.
Town hall for mapping and death certificates and...
Oh, yes.
And all that good stuff is always a wealth of... I've never had to come to the library yet.
But you will, because you want to do Fred Bartholomew.
I have to do some research on him, so...
All right.
Between him and probably the Sheffield Library, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was a native of the town of Sheffield. He was a huge family up there, from what I'm understanding.
Yes, yeah, so, it was a big family. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Is there anything else that you want to add?
I don't think so.
Okay.
We're okay, yeah.
We've done our job.
All right.